As protests around the country are drawing renewed attention to racism and to police brutality, people are looking for solutions. Some people are looking for solutions in their pocketbooks. Activists and influencers are calling for people to start spending their money at Black-owned businesses. And many Black businesses are seeing a flood of new clientele.
The support has been overwhelmingly phenomenal. Our phones have never rang off the hook the way they do now. Just this past weekend, we had lines out the door from open all the way up until closing.
We've had organizations reach out to us solely to donate to support the business. Then in addition to that, we've also had an increase in web orders, and then as well as having just folks call in, just checking in.
Our returning customers actually supported or spent about 14% more than normal, and we actually had an increase of 200% sales from the prior month because of new customers.
It's a way of bringing the dollar back into our communities and helping our businesses grow so we can employ more people and our tax dollars can grow. Our schools can grow. It's a positive feedback loop to build the community and economically re-empower it.
That was Janelle Jackson of Killwinds in Chicago, Ariel Johnson of Amalgam Comics and Coffee in Philadelphia, Ro Michelle of Vintage 1804 in Miami, Florida, and Quincy Lanier in Atlanta, Georgia. So could this movement have a lasting impact? Well, let's bring in Gene Demby from NPR's Code Switch team. Gene, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, David.
So this is not a new idea, right?
No.
Take us through the history of this.
This idea has been around for a long time, this notion of buying Black, at least since the end of slavery. Black people then and now have been cut off from the avenues that created wealth for white people because of things like segregation, because of things like institutional racism. So the idea was that if Black people spent their money at Black businesses and divested from white institutions, it would help generate Black wealth. And that idea has been championed by everyone from Booker T. Washington to Marcus Garvey to Malcolm X, even in Martin Luther King's famous Been to the Mountaintop speech, literally the one he gave the day before he was killed. He was urging Black people in Memphis to take their money out of white-run banks and insurance companies and invest that money in those in town that were run by Black folks.
All right, so that's some of the context. Can you talk about this moment? I mean, the calls for people to buy from Black businesses are particularly loud right now.
Yeah, these calls tend to get louder around racial flashpoints. I mean, in 2016, when incidents of racial violence were in the news, there was a similar high-profile campaign urging people to buy Black. What seems to be different this time is that those calls aren't just coming from or aimed at Black people. Buying Black is a prominent action item on many of the lists circulating around social media, explaining to white people what they might be doing to be helpful in this fight for racial justice. And for better or for worse, in the United States, we often think of our individual consumer choices as an expression of our values. That's why so many corporations might feel compelled to make statements expressing support for Black lives and Black businesses right now, even if those corporations have, let's say, spotty records on justice and fairness.
All right, so this idea, though, really does fall on the idea of the people who are buying, the consumers. How sustainable do you think it is?
Yeah, it's a really big question because buying Black is part of this, you know, larger project of like Black capitalism. And it's tied to this other notion of Black buying power. Black buying power is often cited at north of $1 trillion, which would be a staggering number if it were real. I spoke to Jared Ball, who's a professor at Morgan State University, and he happens to be the author of a new book called The Myth and Propaganda of Black Buying Power, who said that this huge, often cited figure, $1 trillion, isn't just poorly sourced. He says it's a number that was created by the advertising industry, and it's not based in any economic reality. But he says Black people just don't have enough collective wealth to power a movement like this. And all this thinking about how Black people should be spending their money and investing in Black businesses rests against this notion that Black people individually and collectively don't spend their money wisely or effectively.
If you're talking about actually addressing the material economic inequality of an entire community, it does very little to have a few Black businesses propped up with some Black consumerism. I advocate Black banking and buy Black, and boy, I'm an advocate of everything. I'm just simply trying to argue that the idea that these will lead to the levels of success that people are expecting or hoping is mythologized.
So he's really suggesting that we might hear some voices like we did earlier of stories that this sounds like it might be effective, but that there are real limits.
Yeah. And it seems like common sense to say, look, there should be more investment in Black institutions and businesses. But maybe we should also be asking, Is buying things, buying stuff, the most effective way to create or even redistribute wealth? I mean, the vast wealth gap between white people and black people is the result of centuries of racist public policy. It wasn't created by consumer spending. And so fixing this deep-seated problem is also a question of policy, not pocketbooks.
Gene Demby is the co-host of NPR's Code Switch podcast. Gene, thanks so much for coming on talking about this.
I appreciate you, David.